Corinthians. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. Several weeks ago, I started a series of messages that, to be honest with you, I didn't go looking for. I think they came looking for me. And we have walked through a lot of things that we, as far as the Church of God, believe in. And we have revisited some of the things that we have declared as far as doctrinal things. Things that we have practiced in the church for years. A lot of times I believe we don't know why we do some of the things we do, and we're just accustomed to doing those things. So we have walked through biblical principles of signs and wonders. We've talked about, as we did just then, laying on of hands. Because the Bible says, if any man or anyone sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Anoint them with oil. That's what we did. We did a biblical principle. And then we laid hands on them. It's a biblical principle. And then we anointed prayer cloths, and it's a biblical principle. So we did a lot of things, even that a lot of folks may or may not understand why we do the things we do, even in the year 2022, going into the year 2023. The Bible says, I am the Lord thy God, and I change not. And if God did it then, God is still in the miracle business even now. So today we're going to step off into a message that I need prayer over. I have studied this and read it and studied it, and I feel like I'm a novice today. And the reason I say that, I was even praying about this and just thinking to myself about it. Whether you believe this or not, my life and your life, my life is in a rhythm. And if anything gets out of rhythm, it takes me a little bit of time to reset myself. And missing two Sunday mornings the way I did, I've really struggled trying to reset my brain to get back in rhythm today and Wednesday nights and all of that. So I'm praying that God would help us to get back in rhythm and preaching today and pick right back up where that we were at a couple of weeks ago. And today we want to talk about something that so many people are afraid of. So many people are skeptical of. So I hope that I can somehow, by the Word of God, not me, but by the Word of God, eliminate your fear and eliminate your skepticism. And the topic of the day is simply this: signs and wonders, why speak in tongues? And that is where I'm going to do my best to walk through this. As I always say, I'm not going to get done today. I'm not even going to try to get done today. I'm just going to go with where I'm at, walk through some of the things that I've studied and prepared, and I'll get as far into it as I possibly can, and then we'll pick back up on it a little bit later on. Maybe not tonight, we'll see, but we'll pick up on it as quick as we can. So if you have your Bible today, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and I want to read in verse number 1. Again, we've talked about this for a couple of weeks, and we've talked about a whole lot of other scriptures. So today, we're just going to talk about this topic today. Again, speaking in tongues. And I know, even before I read this, that there are those that would want to debate me, and there would be those that would like to prove an argument about this topic. But I believe in Acts 29. You say, well, there's no such thing as Acts 29. Friend, we are Acts 29. You cannot go to the end of the book of Acts and put a period at the end of that book and say that everything that was done leading in to the New Testament church stopped. I don't believe that. It's not an argument with me. It's not a debate with me. I believe that as God did then, God still wants to do now. And hopefully when we walk through this, it'll bring clarity and it will bring a lot of peace to people's souls today and a lot of understanding. Again, It's lengthy. It's more than I can get done in 30 minutes or whatever the case may be. So let's just do it together. So 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, verse 1. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesied, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking in tongues, what shall I profit you, except I speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge, or by prophecy, prophesying, or by doctrine? And even things without life give and sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds. How shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if a trumpet giveth an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except you utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them without signification. Verse 11, therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Verse 13, wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Verse 14, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen? At thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest. Then verse 17, for thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. Verse 19, yet in the church I would rather speak five words with my understanding, that my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding by men, be men. In the law it is written, with men with other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet, for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Verse 22, wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. Verse 23, if therefore the whole church be come together in one place and all speak in tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned and unbelievers, will they not say that thou art mad? But if all prophesy, there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, and he is judged of all. 25, and thus are the secrets of the heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in God is in you of a truth. 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you have a psalm, have a doctrine, have a tongue, and hath revelation, have an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, or that by course, let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak it to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let others judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. Verse 31. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that you all may learn, and all may be comforted. Verse 32. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of the saint, but of peace in all the churches of the saints. Now I want you to stretch your hand this way, and I want you to pray for me that God would touch us today and that God would help us during this time together. Father, we humbly come before you today, God, to love you and to honor you and to praise you and to thank you. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity to be here this morning. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for the word of the Lord, for the word of Lord, the word of the Lord is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Father, I pray, God, that you would help us to be faithful today. I pray the word of God would go forth as you would have it to go forth today. And Father, I thank you and I praise you and I honor you and I give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Now, as I read that, you can tell this morning there's a whole lot in there. Amen? And you can tell by reading that that it's going to take a little bit of time to work through this scripture. So I want to just start at verse 1 and go as far as I can, as long as I can, and then we will continue to walk through this as the Lord enables us. So when Paul was writing this historically, there was, according to commentary, there was much confusion about the very topic that we're talking about today in that early church. So when you think about speaking in tongues and you think about messages in tongues and interpretation of tongues and where all of this came from, well, we trace back, if you will, in history, and we can see that even when you look at the Bible, you can begin to see where that the Spirit of God was always there. And one of the things that I wanted to point out was simply this, that a lot of times people get all weirded out about the word Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. The word Spirit is pneuma in the Greek. It's a Greek word that's pneuma. It means breath, wind, or blow. Jesus had talked to his disciples and he told his disciples before he went away, he told them to, and he led them out there as far as Bethany, and the Bible says he breathed on them and he told them to receive the Holy Ghost. So the whole concept of being filled with the Holy Ghost, the whole concept about the Holy Spirit of God comes from God himself. We see that even in the very beginning, in the origin of time, in the book of Genesis, how that the Bible reminds us that the whole world was void and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God brooded over top of the earth, if you will. So the Spirit of God is not a New Testament manifestation. The Spirit of God has always been evident. God is a triune being, which means he's God the Creator. Jesus is our Redeemer. Jesus is our intercessor now at the right hand of the Father. And now we have the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, here on planet Earth, even now, doing the bidding and doing the work of the Father on planet Earth even now. So when we begin to look at all of these things that I've mentioned in the past and bringing us current to where we're at today. So where are we at when we open this scripture up? One of the things we see in verse number 14 is simply found, chapter 14 is simply found in verse number 1. And when Paul was writing this, simply to give these individuals an outline, if you will, of how that we're to operate in a public setting. Now, before I get too far into this, I just kind of want to just say this moving forward. There is tongues and interpretation of tongues that is used in a public setting, and there's also tongues that are prayed on behalf of you by the Holy Spirit to God the Father that comes out from the spirit man, if you will. And the only way I can describe that is the way that I understand it, and it's the Holy Spirit speaking to God on your behalf. And when you have a message in the church in a tongue or an interpretation, it's the heart of God, the Spirit of God speaking through a person on behalf of God. And all of that ties in together. One of the things that the commentary pointed out is oftentimes that these tongues are not any different one way or the other. They might sound the same, but they've got different functions and different purposes, whether it's in your private prayer time or whether it is in a public assembly. You say, well, let's talk about the first things first. So one of the things that I begin to pick up on, it says, when you look at this, he teaches us in verse 1 to follow after charity. Now, when we think about this word charity, there's a whole chapter that I'm not going to take the time to read, but I'm going to reference it in 1 Corinthians 13. And 1 Corinthians 13 actually talks about this word charity. You and I understand this word today as a word meaning love. So Jesus even told his disciples, he says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, by your love one to another. Chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, actually verse 1 I will read, because he opens this whole chapter up. And again, Paul is addressing this. He said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And he talks about how that you may have the gift of prophecy and understanding, all of that. But he boils this down to one thing, that if you are a Spirit-filled Christian, if you are a Spirit-filled child of God, the first manifestation to verify you being Spirit-filled is not whether or not you speak in tongues. It is whether you're living a life of love. Now, I've pastored for a few years now, and not here at Thomasville by no means, but I have met people in days gone by in situations and circumstances and being over a congregation as a pastor that I've literally heard people speak in tongues, but they're mean as yesterday's wildcat. You know what I'm saying? I've met people that are arrogant. I've met people that are rude. I've met people that are hateful spirited. I've met people that talk in tongues and they're mean to me. They're mean to their family. They're mean to their dogs and their cats. So anyway, when I said all that, I just simply said this, that Paul was basically saying, hey, everything you do as a Spirit-filled Christian can be identified by one thing. And he boils it down in this very verse. And he said, and although I have all the prophecies, verse number 1 in chapter 14, he says again, follow after charity. He says, and desire spiritual gifts. Now, desire spiritual gifts. Why is it necessary to have spiritual gifts? God is a spirit. God is a spirit. We are people of the Spirit, if you will. We operate by the Spirit. Again, Jesus addressed this when Jesus talked to the Galatians, and he said, you foolish Galatians. He said, how do you expect to finish that has begun by the Spirit by the flesh? Now, that's not an exact quote, but that's exactly what he was saying, that you've got to be, you know, Paul was again to the book of Ephesians in Ephesus. He was saying, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So being filled with the Spirit, when does that part happen? There's a a wooing and a drawing and the new birth, how that Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, and I'm getting off track a little bit, but Nicodemus was the one that Jesus was talking to, and he said that you've got to be born again. You've got to be born again by the Spirit. We believe that when you get born again, that the Spirit of God comes and he lives in you, and he's a part of you. If you look in the book of John, I'm not going to turn there, the Holy Ghost is promised to be in you. But we believe that when you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, you are empowered for service by the Spirit of God to become a witness unto him. Now, I know this is a lot, and I know it's overwhelming to try to dissect all this and try to sort it all out. But bottom line is that God is a Spirit, that God works with you and God works with me by the power of his Spirit. Now, the next thing I wanted to talk about, just for clarity, and again, I'm not going to get through all this morning. I'm not even going to try. But we see where he says, so first of all, you're identified and you're walking in the Spirit of love. Follow after charity. Desire that. Go after that. Work on it. Let the Holy Spirit work on you. And so he says that we're to walk in love. The second thing he says is that we desire spiritual gifts. Now, what are spiritual gifts? These is the supernatural enabling power that comes from God and God alone. So it is a supernatural enabling that comes through and by the avenue of God himself. Now, where do we read that in the Scripture? I'm glad you asked. We read that in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. When Paul picked up in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, again, he was talking about this. And again, I'm not going to take the time to read all of it, but I do want to read part of it. So Paul picks this up in 1 Corinthians 12, and he says this in verse number 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, different gifts, several gifts, diversities. And it talks about the word several. And he says that there are diversities, different types of gifts. But he says it's by the same Spirit. And he says that there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but the same God worketh, which worketh all in all. Simply just means this. This simply means that God is the God over all the gifts. And he simply means that it is God that divides the gifts or gives out the gifts severally as he will. The Scripture says different people have different gifts. Now, I'm not talking about talents. I'm talking about supernatural gifts given by God himself to men, but to be able to do the work of the ministry and to be able to do what God would have the church to do. So again, Paul addresses this in verse 6, recognizing that it is God that enables us, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Verse 7, and the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. In other words, it's beneficial to all. The reason that the Holy Spirit gifts are given is so that the church, you can read this in the latter part of chapter 14, that the church would be edified. So I don't want to get ahead of myself too far, but if God's going to give out a message in tongues in a church, that message is to be interpreted if it's a message for the church, and it's always going to do two things. One is, it's going to build up, the word edifies, the build up, it's going to build up the church, and then it's always going to glorify Jesus. When the Holy Ghost was given, Jesus even said this. He said that when he has come, he will not even speak of himself, but he will speak of me. So anytime there's a message, anytime the Holy Ghost is moving, anytime the Spirit of God is active, it's always going to boil down that it's going to be for the purpose of building up the body in faith, in their belief, and to glorify and to edify the Lord Jesus Christ. So God it is in verse 7 to show, but the show of the Spirit, the manifestation of the Spirit, is given to every man for fruitfulness, which will profit withal. Now, let's look at these for a minute. He says in verse number 8, for to one is given the Spirit given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. supernatural wisdom that comes from God, and it is not a learned wisdom. It is a wisdom that is divinely given to an individual to know what to do in any given moment, in any circumstance, what to say or what to act. Jesus even told his disciples, when you go, don't carry a script, don't carry extra coat, don't carry money, don't carry none of that stuff. I'm going to show you when you get there exactly what to do. Then the Bible says that the Holy Ghost is going to be our teacher, and he is not only our comforter, but he's not only that paraclete, our helper, but the Bible says that the Holy Ghost is going to be in you. And we'll get into that a little bit later on again. So here's what Paul was writing about the gifts of the Spirit. He says that the word of wisdom, so we get a word of wisdom. Another, the word of knowledge. Knowledge is that thing that, according to commentary, that you learn. We learn through the revelation of the Spirit. We learn through self-study. We learn by education. But we also learn by what the commentary pointed out, by life itself. Life gives us a lesson. It's like if you do something and you know you should not do that, and you do it anyway, well, that's going to teach you a lesson that you should not do that. But again, this again is a knowledge that comes from God Himself as a supernatural manifestation that comes from the throne room of God. Knowledge, what to do, wisdom, these two work go together. And then he says, and these are some of those that we talk about by faith. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. And then to another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, divers kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Then verse 11, the Bible said, and all these worketh that the one is selfsame, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now he looks at this and it says that God gives different gifts to the body. Why do we need gifts in the church today? For the edifying of the body of Christ. Whether it's a gift of healing, whether it's faith, whether it's miracle, whether it's tongues, whether it's interpretation of tongues, whether it's wisdom, whether it's knowledge, there's nine gifts of the Spirit. You say, well, are these gifts to be operative in the church today? I pray that these gifts become more operative even in the church today. Hey, let me just get off the thought for a minute and go chase a rabbit for a minute. I think one of the reasons that the church is stalemate, one of the reasons that the church is at a standstill, if you will, and stagnant at times, is simply because we have discredited the moving of the Holy Spirit so much, and we've fallen so much into unbelief of the power of the Spirit of God that we've discounted that. We somehow or another just throw it to the sideline and we think to ourselves, oh, that was for way back then. That was for them way back yonder. But it is not evident or it's not necessary in our church today. But I dare say this, that it is necessary in the church today. If we're going to be a Pentecostal New Testament church, all of these gifts are still available to the believers today. It's God's plan. God knows every one of us, and God knows what He needs to give to every one of us, the gifts and the different gifts. And I'll get into some other stuff a little bit later on. But the true gift will manifest itself. It'll edify the body, and it will not draw confusion to the church, and it will not draw confusion to the body, to you as an individual. So we see that in the Scripture. Now, when you look back at our text in verse number 1, we see this. He says, desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you prophesy. When you think about prophecy, two things is going on there. First of all, we want somebody to come over you and put their hands on you, and we want somebody to say, yea, I say unto thee, God saith unto you this day. See, in our mind, in the Pentecostal ranks and in the Church of God, particularly where we've grown up, we want somebody to prophesy to us, and we want somebody to tell us what God is going to do in our lives. And that's been our mind thinking, but the real prophecy is mentioned two different ways as I study this. One is the word prophecy means to speak forth. It means to speak forth. First of all, we speak forth. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we think about prophecy in the way of speaking forth. We think about the preached word of God. We think about a person like myself or the other ministers around here that speak forth the word of God. It is man speaking on behalf of God. And so prophecy, when we think about it, it's not so much that we lay hands on somebody and then we are saying something over them that they may or may not even have anything about. But yet, when I was at Lee for a while at Charlotte Extension, Brother Tatum was one of our professors there, one of our teachers, and we were studying the word prophecy in one of the classes, and one of the things he says always stuck with me, that prophecy is used in the New Testament sense to confirm to you the thing that God is already speaking to you. So when you think about prophecy, it's not so much that I'm up here and we think about somebody reading our mail or somebody, let me use this word because it's the only word that I can think of, somebody reading our mind. And I'm not a mind reader. I'm not a mind reader. I don't know what you had for breakfast and I don't know what color of socks you got on. I have no idea about all that. But if the Holy Ghost comes upon me, and this has happened so many times with Al, and he spoke to me, and he does give me a word for you, know that God, if I ever tell you God's speaking to me about you, mark it down and write it down, it'll come to pass, because I don't do that. I don't do stuff like that. I don't throw the name of God around. I don't do loose stuff like that just for the sake of it. But I do know that there have been times in ministry and times in my life when we've been in an altar service and the Holy Ghost, Sandra, has come upon me and I've spoke directly to people. And I even done this one time on the mission field. And I said, and God's saying this to you, ain't he? And this is exactly where you're at. This is what God's talking to you. And the person on the other end confirmed that this is exactly what God had been speaking to them prior to them ever meeting me. So prophecy works in a way that's a couple of different ways that prophecy works. Yet, and we look at this, we see where the Bible says there of how that in verse number one, desire spiritual gift, but rather that you prophesy. One of the reasons that prophecy is mentioned all throughout 1 Corinthians 14 is because you understand fluently exactly what God is saying. And this gets deeper on in here. It gets a lot deeper, but let me break it down real simple. And this is the only way I know how to do this. If let's pick on Brenda for a minute. If I am standing in front of Brenda and I come to you and I'm talking directly at you and I start speaking in tongues in front of you and I'm looking at you, you're not going to have a clue what I'm doing. You're going to say, okay, what is that all about? But if I look at you and I say, Brenda, God loves you and he wants you to be born again, you are, but he wants you to be saved and Jesus loves you today. Jesus died for you. And if I speak fluently in words that understand prophecy and speak to you, then that is understood. And so that's why Paul was saying that rather that you prophesy. Why? Because of the edification of the person and the edification of the body. Now, you say, well, I didn't know all that was in there. It gets a lot deeper. And it's 12 o'clock. I can go another hour if I got any takers. So verse 1 is sort of an icebreaker, if you will, walking into this. So when you go forward into this, you see in verse number 2, and I'm going to close at verse number 2. He says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. Now we could spend another hour tearing that one apart. But basically, it's real simple. Okay? Don't overcomplicate it. So if a man is speaking in an woman, speaking in an unknown tongue, and it's this Holy Ghost that's speaking through them, it's that Holy Spirit of God talking to God the Father on your behalf. Did you get that? It's the Holy Spirit that's within you. It's not for the edification of the body. It's not for me to be talking to Brenda. But it's the Holy Ghost in me that's speaking through me in an outward and in a audible sound that I'm talking to God the Father. You say, I've never heard that in all of my life. I've never read it. I've never really realized that that could happen. The Bible, and again, I'm going to get more into this a little bit later, but we see this in the Scripture, and I want you to write these things down, and I want you to write them down. I mean, if it's in the book, you know what I mean? We just don't sometimes read it and understand or take the time to understand why certain things happen and why are we doing certain things in the church. Well, verse 2 ties in with Romans chapter 8. And we see this in Romans 8 and 26. He says, likewise, the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, also helpeth our infirmities. Now let me meddle here for just a second. How many of you have ever got to the place as an individual, you didn't know how to pray? You loved God. You loved God with all your heart. You worship God with all your heart, but you're broken. Or you just don't know what to say. And you start seeking God, and you start getting after the heart of God. And before long, you find yourself in your prayer closet, and you're pouring your heart out in tongues. And you're praying, and you're saying things that you really don't, at that point, understand. And I'll get into that. But God understands. And see, this is where Paul, again, he's writing to the Romans and he says this in the Word. Likewise, the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, also helpeth. Was he not called the helper? The paraclete? The one who walks long beside us? For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Okay, let's go back to verse number 2 in 1 Corinthians 14. And in this, we see what he says. He says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Okay, so we're tying these verses together. So he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man. I'm not talking to Sandra right now. Me and God's having a conversation. And it's by the power of the Spirit that I'm doing that, okay? And then he says that we don't know what we should pray or ought to pray, but the Spirit itself, the Holy Ghost, does it on your behalf. I don't know about you, but that's a pretty good deal. When we've got the third person in the Godhead Trinity living in us, John chapter 14, I believe it is. We'll look at that later. The Bible says that not only will he be with you, but he shall be in you. What a deal is that? That the Holy Ghost of glory is in you. Now, Jesus sitting at the right hand of God as an intercessor for man, but we have the Holy Ghost inside of us that's speaking through us, and God knows the language. God understands it all. God sees it all and God knows it all. That's what the Word says. He says that the Spirit itself, the Spirit of God, maketh intercession. Then he says, for us. You think, well, I've never spoken tongues. Should all people speak in tongues? Stay with me. We're going to walk through this. We're going to walk through it inch by inch. And we're going to work our way through it. But he says that the Spirit of God makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. In other words, we may not even know what we're saying. But if he's the true Holy Ghost, he's praying to God on our behalf. He's interceding for us. He's talking to God the Father. Stand with me if you will. So Father, I thank you, God, for this Word. I thank you, Father, for the time that you've given us to walk into this Scripture tonight. or this morning. Lord, just walk our way into it, little by little. Help us, God, to get understanding. Help us, God, to get revelation as we do this, Lord, that your Son Jesus might be glorified, that your Son Jesus might be edified. Father, I pray, God, as we understand, as we discover the Word of God, help us, Heavenly Father, today to be found faithful. Lord, we honor you, we praise you, and we thank you. And Holy Spirit, I pray for a fresh baptism of the Spirit. I pray, God, that every person in this room experience the Holy Ghost in a way and in a level like they've never known before. And I pray this, Father God, in the name of Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for it, for what you're doing. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. Two things I need to leave with you. First of all, choir practice at 4:30. Come and be a part. You showing up speaks. Okay? It tells us what you want to do when you show up. Number two, stay for church after choir practice, and the rest of you come at 6 o'clock. We'll see what God wants to do tonight.